Hey everyone, Tawny here. I am so excited to share that my husband and I launched a non-alcoholic beverage called Parentheses. It's technically two drinks, a before and an after. The before uses herbs that stimulate the senses, and the after uses herbs that calm the senses. Head to drinkparentheses.com and follow us at drinkparentheses.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Recovery Rocks. It's Lisa, and I am here, as always, with my most excellent...
Meow! It's Tawny. Hello, my favorite queen.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
You know, I'm good. And it's been a while since I've said that.
No, it's true. It's true. You know, since we were just going to talk today, like get caught up on everything that's been going on. There's been a lot happening.
There's been a lot going on. And I just took 2 weeks off of work for the first time in ever, probably. We're gonna catch up this episode. We're gonna talk about the book tour. We're gonna talk about what life as a published author is like from both mine and Lisa's perspective. As well as some fun stuff, like some books we've been reading, shows we've been binging, movies we've watched, stuff like that. So the book tour ended the last weekend of January. So book came out September 19th, and I have been traveling and promoting and being on tons of podcasts and writing for months and months. And that's just since the book's been out. You know, I also did a really intense pre-order campaign, plus the whole writing of the book and all of that, finding an agent and the whole deal. So as soon as Dry January ended, that's also when my book tour ended. I took 2 weeks off, Lisa. I didn't do anything. I didn't even go to the gym, and you know how much I love the gym.
Oh, I didn't know you didn't go to the gym too. Yeah, you needed what is called, you know, like I do all my tarot stuff with Lindsay Mack, who is amazing, but what she's talked about as deep rest.
Yes.
Which is, you know, it's just a necessary thing to get your body back into, been running yourself into the ground, and it takes time to literally do that deep rest, and it goes against every fiber of our being because we always feel like we should be doing something, but it's essential. And I can tell you're better. Like I can tell just from seeing you, talking to you, that, and I, because you know, having seen you go through what you've gone through in the last year, it just, you know, I'm so happy that you've been able to take some time finally. I know it's been so much for you.
You know, it's been a lot, and I'm starting to feel like a human for the first time in a while. I'm feeling more balanced. I'm feeling like myself again, whereas, you know, these last probably 2 years realistically is just been full book mode, whether it was writing the book, pitching the book, promoting the book, touring the book, podcasting about the book. It was all consuming. And that doesn't mean it was all bad. You know,
no,
it was,
not at all. I mean, it's great stuff. It's like the, you know, it's the prizes that you sought, right? Like it's what you pursued. That doesn't mean it doesn't take everything out of you.
Exactly. It took a significant toll on me. I was burning the candles at both ends. I had some really wonderful career highs and I had some really low personal lows and career lows and personal highs. And, you know, really it's been, I think as cliche as it is, I think emotional roller coaster is just the best way to describe it. And, now I'm really enjoying, just stillness, laying around and reading. I have no idea what my next book will be. It's not even a thought in my mind, to be completely honest.
I love that.
And, you know, Nick and I are, we're just fully focused on promoting the drink right now. You know, like, dirt, you know, while doing all this book stuff, my husband and I were also developing a drink, and we launched the drink in December. So now that's my primary yeah. job is I'm the chief marketing officer of Parentheses. So, and honestly, my brain is really loving taking a break from publishing and doing something that's very business focused. It's not personal. Like, it's not about me at all. It's actually like, how can I sell this product? How can I sell this thing? So that's actually been really nice. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's a whole new thing for you, right? It's like, and you are, as we always say, the most intellectually curious person I know. So to take a new challenge, like, gee, how do I market a drink? How do I make this thing a success? Is very cool. But it's also, you know, it's a lot of pressure.
And one thing I will say, probably, I don't know if I have a favorite book tour moment, but the first thing that comes to my mind is it was actually my very last tour stop. It was in Washington, D.C., last weekend of January. I was a keynote speaker at Mindful Drinking Fest. That was amazing. So freaking cool to be a keynote speaker. I did about a 20-minute talk on liquid courage and the research that I did while writing my book about, you know, the role liquid courage plays in interpersonal relationships. And I really enjoyed putting that talk together. And at that same event, it's Mindful Drinking Fest. So Nick and I had a table where we did samples of our drink, and it was all industry. So, you know, it really, you know, I went from the working the booth, giving out samples of our drink and talking to industry people, to giving a keynote talk, to then doing a book signing. And when I went to bed that night in our hotel room, I was so emotional because I was just like, holy shit, these are three really, really big things that would not be possible if I was still drinking. Like, this life that I've created for myself is because I stopped drinking and I started taking care of myself. It was just so, it was really beautiful. And the fact that I'm doing it with my husband, you know?
It's amazing. Yes. Does that ever get hard? Does that get?
Oh yeah. 100%. It's, are you working with Nick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very hard. But I think you know, we have a really good line of communication in our romantic relationship. So that has translated into our having a good line of communication with work. Mm-hmm. And we also have this line of like, the other day we were like bickering about it. We did a photo shoot for the drink. We were kind of bickering about it. And he was just like, I don't want my wife tonight. So we just like immediately just stopped. We just left the fight hanging, put it away. haven't picked it up since. And we were just like, yeah, let's just be married tonight.
I love it.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I think we have both done so much work on ourselves before we even found each other. So that's why we have a healthy marriage. And I think that that's also why we have a healthy working dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, thank God the two of you are both sober, right? Because to try and do this stuff, I mean, that's another gift. Like, you know how to communicate with each other. You know how to, you know, own your own stuff, right? Like, and, you know, be in that kind of relationship and fun, which then can translate into, you know, into that kind of success on a business end.
Very much. And we're also, we do such different things for the business, where he is more R&D, operations, business. He's the one who actually goes to our commercial kitchen. He developed the recipe for the drink. you know, like he does more of that where I do the marketing, the PR, the outreach, getting the drink into stores, getting the drink into customers' hands. So there, we really don't do a lot of work together, you know, so that, that also helps.
Yes. Yes.
There is a disconnect. There is a healthy disconnect there.
That's very good. Yeah.
But it's, yeah. So it's, you know, I share all of that because it's just truly been the craziest year of, you know, life stuff and career stuff. And we got married and, you know, also so many big things. And like 2024, I want it to be I really want it to be a chill year, to be completely honest. I want it to be mindful and intentional. That's my word of the year, is intentional. Do you do words of the year?
I do not. But I think like the strength thing is big, you know, the tarot card of strength. I've been going with that. I've been trying to hold on to that.
Strength is a great word.
Yeah. Because I mean, we've talked about that it's going to be a tough year. And, you know, I think strength is a good one. But also just like keeping it, I think your idea of not being so heavy with everything is a really good point, because there's just a lot we're not going to be able to change. And we just have to, you know, take each day as it comes. And to do it more lightly is a good practice, I think. I know, like for me, I've shifted my, you know, I read normally a lot of nonfiction, and I've been reading mostly fiction. And in fact, a lot of it in, you know, kind of much lighter stuff than I would typically read, or just like, so should we talk about books?
Yeah, I'm pulling up my Goodreads.
One thing we should mention is the deck. We have a date for the deck coming out now.
Oh my God.
We're so excited. December 2nd.
It's a thing.
So it will be, what a great stocking stuffer.
I'm pulling up my Goodreads over here because, like you, I've also been reading a lot of fiction.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to, let's talk about fiction, please. Like, let's talk.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the deck first?
Yeah. God, I mean, we have a card deck coming out.
Yeah.
We have
and
a
now we've been
card
seeing
deck.
The design. We've been through the design phase, and now we're seeing actual, like, what they're going to look like. We're so excited for this. It's going to be great.
It's going to be, it's so cool, you know, like, and the reason I say that is because, for me, you know, writing my book, pitching my book, all of that, it's a very lonely process because it's mine, you know, like it's my book. Whereas pitching this card deck and working on this card deck with you has been fun. You know,
it has been a very different journey than a book. Yeah.
It's a very different journey. Plus, you know, I already had an agent. So I didn't have to like start from square one. So, that was huge. That took a lot of the stress off. But the fact that this card deck is collaborative with you and I, we have, you know, just a little behind the scenes for listeners here. Lisa and I will spend hours on Zoom working on our card deck.
Yes.
Going through, you know, these like, the Word document's like, what, like 70, 80 pages or something?
So
it's like, you know, I think one of our Zoom sessions was like 4 hours and we took breaks and.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But like, it's kind of like podcasting, you know, it was fun because the angle of the card deck is just like the angle of the podcast, where it's like, it was one day at a time. We want to show you that you can have fun living your life without alcohol. And we acknowledge that not everybody wants to read a book. Maybe you want to pull a card. Maybe you want to have just a different approach. You know?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And not every day is a great day. And maybe you need a little buck up.
Yes. And it's, you know, speaking from experience, not every day is wonderful. Every day, is, you know, there's always difficult stuff and probably every day.
Yeah.
But this card deck is definitely something I wish that I had in early sobriety.
Yeah.
Even like not just early sobriety, but there's things that like, you know, setting boundaries, communicating with your friends, like stuff like that, that still comes up. I'm 8 years sober and I still have things.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So
we're going to talk a lot about this card deck as we, you know, get closer. It's, you know, it seems like a long ways away, but it's, you know, with publishing, there's all these little benchmarks. Like,
yeah,
we just got, you know, a draft of a possible cover, what the card decks are going to look like. So, you know, these little things are really exciting.
I didn't even see the cover in that. Oh, I got to go back. We just got it yesterday.
Oh, wait, maybe it's not the cover. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm spreading fake news again.
She's spreading fake news, disinformation. I'm covering rocks.
Oh my God. If someone ever quoted me and it was misinformation, I like as a journalist, that would be like,
you would not do well with that.
I wouldn't do well with that. No. I need a fact checker.
Tell me about your fiction. Cause we've been on a lot of times we're on the same fiction jag and we're not right now.
Correct. Okay. Should I start?
I could start.
I think my favorite novel that I just that I read recently is Yours for the Taking by Gabrielle Korn, K-O-R-N. She was a beauty editor who did a lot, also reported on climate change. And so she took her experience as a beauty editor and climate change research she made a sapphic dystopian novel. So,
oh my gosh.
It's post-apocalyptic, you know, the world's on fire. Because the air is unbreathable, in the book, these people are living in these huge, orbs. Basically, there are these like huge enclosed spaces because you can't go outside. It's mostly women. A lot of queer women are the characters. But the big twist is that the people that are allowed inside these bubbles are not men. Men are not allowed in these bubbles.
So
men are born in the bubbles because it's women with sperm samples are put away into this world and they are basically raising children in a post-patriarchy world where they're raising children in a matriarchy just to see what it's like. So it's dystopian, it's science fiction, it's feminist, but it's also showing that a world with just women wouldn't wouldn't work.
Right.
She also does a good job of satirizing, you know, girl boss culture. The fact that this is dystopian, it's these millennial girl bosses that are in their 60s.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's pretty cool.
That are running the world. So I very much loved it. I don't know why. I try to read rom-coms and light stuff, Lisa. I really do. But I love horror and dystopian.
Let me ask you, is there any recovery type thing, or is it alcohol involved in these in that kind of book, or is it just for you like a total, I don't want to think about recovery, I just want to transport?
I am definitely in a place where I don't want to read about recovery right now.
You don't want to read a story that involves
If that's the main story, no. A lot of people.
Okay, good point on that. You know,
another novel I just finished, Margot's Got Money Troubles by Ruthie Thorpe.
Do you recommend it?
I very much recommend it. And I will say recovery is a subplot And it's not just recovery, harm reduction. I actually, when I finished it, I messaged the author and I said, thank you so much for incorporating harm reduction in, in this story. The book is, Ruthie Thorpe is a novelist. This is her second book, I believe. And Margo's
Got Money. Is it out already?
It's not out yet. I got an advanced copy.
Because, it's not out till June, it looks like.
Yeah, it's not out yet. So I'm planting seeds so people will check it out or pre-order because it's really good. It.
We'll put the link in. Yeah.
But it's about a single mom who has no support from her family. And she gets fired from her job because she can't afford daycare, this is a very real thing that's happening. Yeah. You know, this happens in real life.
Yeah, this is not a rom-com.
No. But she starts an OnlyFans. And so it's about motherhood. It's about sex work. And then her dad comes into the picture and he is her dad. The dad's in recovery. Her dad. And then he himself advocates for his own harm reduction approach to treatment, which
interesting.
Yeah. Like it's really good. It's out there. Again, I read like dark, weird shit. So if you're looking for like a rom-com, I cannot recommend, but, those are my two favorite. Oh, okay. And then I'll say one more thing and then you can go.
Yeah.
Acid Christmas.
Oh, yeah. I have that. I put that on my Kindle because you said, yeah.
I just learned that psychedelic fiction was a genre. I didn't know this was a genre. So Acid Christmas is another dystopian novel that takes place in an airport. And they find a page of acid and, you know, stuff happens.
Can I find that triggering?
If you find psychedelics triggering, yeah. But the psychedelics are what save you. They're what saves the day.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
If you are triggered by psychedelics or drug use in any sort of way, don't read Acid Christmas. But if you're intrigued by it and I liked it because I just never read a book like it before. I thought it was an interesting concept.
Yeah, I'm going to read it. I remember I put it on my Kindle already because you'd recommended it. So I'm going to definitely read that. So I have gone like full, like I it, kind of out of, I like a lot of like noir stuff. I like dark thriller stuff. And for some reason, I missed the entire trend of Scandinavian noir, which was like a big thing.
Oh.
Several years ago. Are you remember that or no?
No, I don't. Tell me.
So there's this whole genre of what's known as Scandinavian noir that sort of came out of I love The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and those books when they came out were just so like something new and something different. And from them spawned this whole, that was Scandinavian, and Stieg Larsson, who's the author who died so young. But there were three books in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series. I never watched any of the movies or anything, but the books I really liked. And then, you know, really it led to, there really is this whole kind of dark, you know, wintry landscape, like you're in Oslo or, you know, Stockholm, like these really, yes. And the different mannerisms and everything, but like pretty dark murder mystery kind of things, but very much about the, you know, the investigators in it. And so I started, And now I'm in a little bit of trouble because I've read two of Joe Nesbø. He has this, and I'll put the links in. I think the most famous one is Snowman. And it's 16 books in the series, but the series is the Harry Hole series. And that's the name of the detective who is on these cases. Based in Oslo, and he's this, you know, guy who struggles with alcoholism. Like he, like in part, sometimes he's sober, sometimes he's not. Like you see the ramifications, you see what the consequences are of his drinking. But it's really like very, what I love about these books is like, it's very in depth in the different detectives. And there's a lot of strong women in there that I think, you know, really, and it's just, you see the difference, at least I see in these books depicted, like a lot less misogyny than there is in the US, you know?
That's not surprising. I mean, and they have universal healthcare, so.
Yes, there's all of that. Like these people aren't having to write about starting an OnlyFans to, you know,
to feed their children,
raise their kid. Yeah. And it, I just, you know, it really transports me out. And I think like that is what I'm looking for in all of the reading right now. And also the other one that's not a rom-com, but is along those lines of just like crazy family stuff that I read recently. And now I'm reading the first book by this author, this book called Hope by Andrew Ridker. And it's about a Jewish family in Brookline, Massachusetts, and all the things that, that go on. He's sort of like, it's similar to if anybody reads like Tom Perata, who wrote Mrs. Fletcher and some other stuff. Like, it's just more of a fun read. And it's a family exploits and family craziness. And so that that was good. And so his first book was The Altruist that I'm finishing now that is similar and also good. And that sort of is where he made his name. So that's what I've been reading. But I'm like, dude, can I read 14? I've read two. Can I read 14 more of these Harry Hole books? I want to because I love him.
How long are they?
I'm going to have to sprinkle, right? Like now I mixed in the other one. You know, but there's always, it's always interesting to me because there are characters who struggle with alcohol in the Andrew Ridker books too, but you, and you see it and how it affects family dynamics and how, you know, but in a way that is not too heavy.
Well, it's, you know, on that note, several people have texted me about the new show, Loudermilk. I don't know if you've heard of it or watched.
It's not new, Loudermilk.
Oh, it's not?
It's a new season. No, Loudermilk. Oh, okay. Go ahead. Tell me, say what you were going to say about Loudermilk.
Okay, I guess that's why everyone's texting me because there's a new season, but everyone's like asking if I'm watching it. Like,
is it
it's about
a new season? No, you know what? I think it just came on one of the streaming things or something.
Oh, okay, that must be what it is. As because everyone's like, oh, it's about sobriety. Are you watching it? And I was like, no, I don't want to watch a show about sobriety right now. But I don't know. Should I? Do you think it's?
It's funny. Like,
yeah,
that's. I mean the. And it, what it is it's this guy, he's played by Ron Livingston, who's a great actor.
I love him.
Very funny. If you like Ron Livingston, you will like it. I'm going to link to this Deadline article about it.
You know, Ron Livingston he's part of my Liquid Courage keynote talk.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because in my book, I talk about the scene of Sex in the City where Carrie is dating Berger, who is played by Ron Livingston.
Right.
And she gets them drunk on 2-for-1 margaritas before they can talk about their uncomfortable sexual experience. And so I talk about that, like if Carrie Bradshaw needs liquid courage, what the hell are us normal people supposed to do?
Right.
So shout out Ron Livingston, if you're listening.
That's right. I remember this from your talk. Yes. Yes. But Loudermilk, he's like this alcohol counselor and he's, you know, obviously he's sober himself. It is very funny. And it's like if, it's so kind of crazy. Like there's a lot of real life kind of feeling stuff, but it's really like funny and some like over the top characters in, you know, whatever. But I really like it. I really liked it.
I'm sure I would like it. I just like, so do I need to be in the mood to like, so sobriety is a really big theme. of it?
Well, it's he's a sobriety counselor, but it's a comedy show.
Okay. Cool.
I would try the first one.
What else are you watching?
Oh my gosh. So I'm watching on Hulu Capote versus the Swans.
Oh, okay. That's next on my list. Is it Ryan Murphy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Anything he does, I'm there.
He did. Wait, is it Ryan Murphy? I think so.
I think so, because he did the first Feud.
Oh, yeah. So it's him. Yeah. So it's Feud, which is this limited series thing on Hulu. The first one was what? It was Joan Crawford.
And Betty Davis.
And Betty Davis. Yeah. I want to go back and watch that now that I've been watching this one. I didn't watch it. Did you?
I didn't, but which is surprising because I'm obsessed with Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Oh, yeah. I need to watch that, too. But and also, Craig is into watching this Truman and, you know, Capote and the Swans. It's about Truman Capote and the women of high New York society in the late 60s. And basically, he ingratiated himself in with all these society doyens. And then ripped him apart in his writing.
In his writing, yeah.
And it became a feud between them. And the thing that hooked me onto this one is the cast. Because well, that's it's what like,
I was when I saw that Calista Flockhart was in it, I was like, sign me up. I will follow her anywhere. I missed her.
She's great, but like Naomi Watts as Babe Paley. Because this is a real story and these were real women is amazing. But you also have Demi Moore is in it. Diane Lane is in it. Who else? There's Jessica Lange is in it. It's all these amazing actresses are in the cast. And
hell yeah.
It's really, it's like throwback stuff. And you see Truman Capote was a total alcoholic and, you know, that there was some uncomfortable drinking stuff in that, I think.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah, that's next on my list.
It's so good. You're going to like it. Yeah.
What about you? I'm rewatching the show What We Do in the Shadows. I've seen it. But Nick has not, so I'm starting it from the beginning with him. And so reliving that I think it's one of the funniest shows on TV right now. It's just about these.
Is that vampires? The vampires?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's the kind of thing I want now, right? Just like fun stuff.
It's fun. It's a fun show. It's really well written, witty, smart comedy. And I'm also catching up on movies.
Yes.
I watched Past Lives. Have you watched that yet?
No, I want to watch that.
It moved me to tears. It was so freaking beautiful. I hope it wins all of the Oscars that it's nominated for. We both watched May December.
Yes.
What did you think of May December?
I really liked it.
Yeah, I did too. I liked that it was about Natalie Portman playing an actor who's studying a role. That was a really interesting storytelling.
Yeah.
Component. Yeah. I liked that quite a bit.
And it's the story of, what was her name?
Mary Kay Letourneau and Villy Mary Falau.
Mary Kay Letourneau. Yeah.
Yeah, it's loosely based.
The one who married her high school student. Yeah.
And it's funny. I mean, it's not funny.
Well, and it's a fictionalized version.
It's fictionalized. And some people who are younger who don't remember that incredibly viral before viral was a thing story. People that are younger are like, that's just not relatable. Why would a 35-year-old woman marry a 14-year-old boy? And it's like, well, this happened and she went to prison and then they got back together So like they, it's a very complicated love story. And but it's interesting that they fictionalized it for this movie. You know, I thought it was really good.
And we watched Killers of the Flower Moon that we both. Oh, you weren't crazy about it. I really liked it.
I watched the first hour, Lisa. I tried.
You couldn't go back. Okay.
No.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. We should talk. What about music?
What music am I listening to?
All right. I have to tell you, I'm going to be honest. I was never a Taylor Swift person, and I have now been listening to so much Taylor Swift just because I got interested in the whole Travis Kelce thing, because I'm a football fan. Yeah. And, you know, and then I started, and I was curious because the Eras Tour was so big. I want to watch the movie, but mm-hmm. I just started listening to some of her stuff. And I told you yesterday, I texted you, I was like, I'm currently obsessed with the song Karma because it's so, you know, it makes me feel better in certain ways.
Yes. Yes.
She's keeping our side of the street clean.
She is a phenomenal lyricist. Yeah. She's a really good lyricist. And you know what's so funny? Two things. I love that football is getting you into Taylor Swift because for most women, it's Taylor Swift is getting them into football.
I know.
And that's how it was for me. I watched, you know, Nick and I watched the Super Bowl, and this was the first time I actually was loosely interested in the game. I was genuinely like, oh, wait, this is okay. Cool. This is interesting. I've never, and I'm not going to say I care about football, but that's the most interested I've ever been in a football game. And,
I'm a football fan. So,
and you know, people assume that I am just because I grew up mostly in Texas, and I was like, no, nope. I was not a Friday Night Lights girl. No, not for me. But yeah, I'm glad that you are getting into Taylor Swift. You know, I was also late to the Taylor Swift game. Because 1989 was my first album of hers that I liked. And the reason that I liked it was, do you remember when Ryan Adams covered the whole album?
Yes. Yes.
So I was a Ryan Adams fan. Yeah. So I listened to that. And
that's,
I was like,
you know, that's the same time I listened to that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, I think I needed to hear a rock and roll spin.
Yeah.
And I needed to, because then I was like, wow, these lyrics are really good. And then
yeah,
I listened
she's
to,
really a good songwriter. I listened to the listen to like a whole album, but
of Taylor.
Right. But I get it more now. I get it. Yeah. And I like a bunch of stuff. Yeah. She's super, I mean, she's ridiculously talented. That's like a generational talent.
It is. It is. And then I'll also say, because we're talking about Super Bowl, that's when Beyonce dropped these surprise two new songs.
Yeah.
And so this is very interesting to me because she just released two country songs. Beyonce is topping the country charts.
Yeah.
And breaking all sorts of records as the first Black woman to even be on a country chart, let alone topping having the number one and two spot. This has never happened. And a lot of country music radio stations are actually refusing to play her music.
I read that.
Which is sadly not surprising, but I, as an artist and an activist and a political person, I very much respect this project of hers so much because I think good art is confrontational.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this is. And the album isn't even out yet. And it's confronting and it's stirring some shit up. And they're just good songs. Like they're good songs.
The scope of her talent is insane.
Yeah. So I'm very excited for, And they both have albums coming out. Beyonce has a new album coming out. Yeah. And Taylor Swift have a new album coming out. So
it'll very, be a good year.
So, you know, maybe we'll have them on on Recovery to interview the two artists who do not do interviews. We'll be on Recovery Rocks. I love these episodes. I love these catch up episodes because, you know, it's kind of like with recovery, it's we have to be like, we're people first, you know, we have to take care of ourselves first. And these catch up episodes are kind of a good reminder of that. It's like, we can't do like the heavy topics and the heavy research topics without catching up first.
And this is more like what we do all day on text.
This is basically just like a 40 minute FaceTime that you guys just witnessed.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. And we'll be back next time.
Yes, take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.